Some years ago, I preached a message, and after the service was over, there was a person said to me, "As you preached the word today, I felt that I was the only one there. That you and I were just sitting together talking, and you were telling me the good news of Christ, and I really understood what you were saying." Well, that, my friends, is preaching. Preaching is communicating. That's what preaching is all about, is communication. Heart with heart, understanding His word preached. John said, "We know that the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and that we're in Him that is true. And this is the true God, and this is eternal life." When our Lord preached, people understood Him. They didn't all believe. Some believed and some did not believe. But He spoke in words that they understood. That's the key to preaching. That's what it's all about. Communicating. When our Lord preached, He said, "I am the water of life." We know what water is, don't we? "I'm the water of life. A thirsty man knows the value of water. Farmers pray for water. Thirst makes water precious. No one would want to do without water. It gives life." He said, "I'm the water." On another occasion, He said, "I am the bread. I'm the bread of life. I've never known what it is to be really hungry. Hungry enough to steal, to eat. I've never known what real hunger is, but I've been hungry enough that I craved bread. I love bread. I love what it does for me. I understand the value of bread." Our Lord said, "I'm the bread." Very simple. "I'm the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never hunger. I perpetually, eternally satisfy." Simple. He said, "I'm the light of the world. Darkness is frightening. Darkness is frightening to little children and to older people. When I go to a strange place and sleep in a strange home, a strange bedroom, I like a nightlight. I think when your grandchildren, little, especially little children, spend the night with you, you need a nightlight. Darkness is frightening. All right, if you wake up at home in your own surroundings, but in a strange place, darkness is frightening." One time I'd preached in Dingus, West Virginia. And I got in my car and left about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. It was dark. I went through that tunnel and then got out on that one-lane mountain road near Laurel Lake. And my lights went out. Just flat went out. My heart jumped. It's dark. Darkness is frightening. I love the light. Christ said, "I'm the light of the world. Where He is, there is no darkness." And then He said, "I'm the truth." Oh, how refreshing that is. How refreshing that's always been. But in this day, how precious is truth. Amid so many lies in every area, He's the truth. He's the truth. And here in your text that you have open there, John 10, down in verse 9, he says, I'm the door. I'm the door. Simple, plain, instructive. I'm the door. A door is an entrance and an exit. A door is the only way into the next room. And there's a door, and Christ said, I'm that door. Very simple. And we're going to look at these words here in John 10. Christ talks about being the door, but there are two reasons why people have trouble with this passage. There are two reasons. This first 10 verses is about all we'll have time for this morning, but that's where the problem usually is the first 10 verses. And there are two reasons why people have problems with this passage. One, they do not take into consideration to whom the Lord is speaking. See, in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them. Unto whom? They understood not what things that they were that he spake unto them. One, his disciples. One, believers. And this is a problem. You've got to find out to whom our Lord is speaking. He spake it to them. And second reason why people have trouble with these opening verses is they don't take into consideration the three doors that he mentioned. He distinguishes here between three doors. Verse 1, the door into the sheepfold. Verse 7, I'm the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I'm the door, by me if any man enter in. He's the door of the sheepfold, the door of the sheep, and the door of salvation. There are three doors mentioned here. All relating to him. I know, but so let's look at it, see what the Lord is saying here. Very simple language. Now, in the preceding chapter, and oh, how often I've mentioned this, find out what goes before. In the preceding chapter, our Lord had restored the sight of a man on the Sabbath day. A man who had been born blind, the Lord healed him, gave him sight on the Sabbath day. And this aroused the wrath and anger of the Pharisees. They were so furious. These Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were the guides. They were the authorities. They were rulers in the synagogue. They were men who made a good living off of religion. They had a good thing going. They had a good thing going. They were making a good living on religion, out of religion, off of religion. And they didn't want their goose that laid the golden egg killed. And they would destroy anyone who got in the way of their prosperity. They were religious leaders. They cared more for their traditions, their Sabbath day, their rules and regulations than they did for the glory of God. They were angry because Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, violated their Sabbath. They cared not for the spiritual good of the people. They cared for their own covetous means and gold and silver. They rejected Christ as their Messiah. He came unto his own received him not. These were the rulers. Like this man born blind who was healed said to them, this is amazing. You're the rulers of the synagogue. You're the rulers of religion. And this man has healed my eyes. He's given me sight, and it's never been heard of on this earth that a man gives sight to the blind and you don't know where he came from. That's astounding you. This is a simple peon talking. And he said, you're the rulers, you're the teachers of Scripture, you're the speakers for God, spokesmen. And here a great miracle has been performed such as the world's never seen, And you don't know where he came from. And they didn't. They denied the witness of the word. Christ said, you search the scriptures, in them you think you have life, and they which testify of me, you will not come to me. They refused the testimony of John and the prophets. They refused the testimony and witness of the miracles. They refused the testimony of the voice of God from heaven who said, this is my beloved Son. And our Lord healed this blind man on their Sabbath day and infuriated these religious leaders. And they tried every means at their disposal to get this beggar who was healed, this man who was healed, to deny that Christ healed him. They did everything in their power to get this man to lie, to swear that Jesus Christ did not heal him. And when they couldn't get the man to recant, they excommunicated him from the whole Jewish community. They took away all of his privileges, birthright and everything. So the Lord spake to them. Those are the people. Look back here at verse 39. 39 of chapter 9. Let's go back a few verses. And Jesus said, I am come into this world, for judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now hold that right there. Christ said, I'm come for judgment. I'm come into this world. And I'm come that those who are blind from birth, like this man whom I've healed, and know they're blind, have no sight and know it, who are in darkness and know it, and truly desire to see, want to see the glory of God. I'm come that they might see. I've just given you a demonstration of why I've come. Physical demonstration. This man's blind and knew it from birth. Oh, like Christ said to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Just name anything that I might see. More than anything, more than 10 million worlds that I might see. And I'm come that they might see. Who would rather see than anything? Who would rather have sight than 10,000 worlds that are blind and who want to see the glory of God? I've come that they might see. And I'm come that those who think that they see and boast of their sight and their knowledge and boast of their foolish wisdom and boast of their self-righteousness, I'm come that they might be further hardened and further blinded by that glorious light. You know, a certain amount of light will enable you to see. That sun in its total glory will put your eyes out. And Christ has come that those who are blind, in his way of grace, his soothing, gracious, loving way, makes them to see. And these folks who say, we see with our eyes wide open, he comes in all of his glory and majesty and power and puts their eyes out. Father, that darkness, if that light which is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You'll see that in 2 Thessalonians. I'm talking about these religious leaders. That's the people he's talking to. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You don't want him to put the brightness of his unshielded glory upon you. You want him to come in his own kindness and way as you're able. As you're able. These are going to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. He said to Moses, hide in the rock there and I'll pass by. You can't look on me and live. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusions, and they'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in their unrighteousness, in their self-righteousness. So you see what verse 40 is saying? Verse 39 of chapter 9, I'm come into this world that they which see not might see. And they which claim to see might be further deceived, blinded. And they said, verse 40, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said, are we blind? Are you saying we're blind? What a ridiculous thought. What a ridiculous thought. We're the leaders. We're the spokesman for God. Don't you see these garments we're wearing? They're the garments of the priest. Don't you see these symbols that we have on? These are the symbols of religion. Don't you see these phylacteries, how broad and blue they are? That stands for the law. You're saying we're blind? Verse 41, Jesus said, if you were, you'd have no sin. If you were blind and admitted it, if you were a sinner and admitted it, if you were guilty and confessed it, I'd give you sight. I'd give you healing. I'd give you life. But now you say. John worked on that 3 times in 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. If we say, he said, now you say, this is what you say, this is what you claim. Jesus is my personal Savior. Who said that? I did. Did God say it? Or did you say it? You say. You say we see. We don't need any light. We don't need a substitute. We don't need the blood. We don't need an intercessor. We don't need an advocate. We don't need any help. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you don't know that you're poor and naked and miserable and blind, he said. But if you said, if you were blind, I'd give you sight. And therefore your sin remains. Then in John 10, verse 1, he describes to them something they were very familiar with, an Eastern sheepfold. There's no chapter division there. That's all right. That helps us find the passage. But he said to them, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now he's still talking to them. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. What is this sheepfold? All these men knew. Now here's a sheepfold. It's usually close to a town. a sheepfold. It's an enclosure. I don't know how big as this church lot maybe, or bigger. But it's enclosed with a fence, and there's one door. There's a sheepfold with a high fence around it. And there's a door. And at night, the shepherds would bring their sheep in to these places and all put them in the sheepfold. There'd be several flocks in there. There'd be hundreds of sheep. There'd be several shepherds. And there was a porter who kept the door. There was a sheepfold, and there was a door, and there was a porter who kept the door. And the next morning, when the shepherd would come, shepherds, several of them, would come to get their sheep, the porter would open to them. That's what he says here. Let's read it. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now, during the night, if a fellow climbed over the fence to steal some sheep, he's a thief. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the porter openeth. This porter's at the door, and he knows the shepherds. He knows all of them. They left their sheep there that night, went to take lodging somewhere, came back the next morning, said, come from a sheep. All right. He goes in there and listens. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep. He doesn't get all the sheep out. It's his sheep. He calls them by name. Molly, Mabel, Fred, George, he knows all of them. He's loved them. He's been with them a long time. They know him. He knows them. And he calls them by name. And he leads them out. He leaves the rest of them and takes out his sheep. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. He leads them. And they follow him. And they know his voice. And a stranger they won't follow. They'll flee from a stranger. You couldn't come in there and say, come here, Molly, Mabel, Fred. They wouldn't move. They don't know you. They know their shepherd. They don't know you. And they follow that shepherd. They know not the voice of a stranger. And our Lord spake unto them this parable, and they didn't understand it. Now, do you? All right, listen to me. I'll explain it, because most of you know it. The sheepfold may be the world. Maybe he's talking about the world. I don't know. Maybe he's talking about the commonwealth of Israel. I don't know. Maybe he's talking about the justice of God that holds us captive, keeps us in. Maybe he's talking about the law or whatever system that men and women by which they're held captive in Judaism, under law, in sin. But in this world, in this commonwealth of Israel, and in this nation, in this city, sheepfold. God has a sheep. He has a sheep. He calls them by name. They're his. And there's but one door by which that shepherd can come in and get those sheep. Christ is the shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And the Father's the porter. The sheep are in the enclosure. They're in this world. Whatever they're in, under the law, under justice, whatever. But to his sheep, Father gave them to him. And here's a door, and that's the door of a perfect righteousness. That's the door of an honored law. That's the door of a satisfied justice. And the porter is the eternal God who will only open that door to one who satisfies that justice and that law and that righteousness. And he'll only open it to the shepherd of those sheep who come for them. The religionists who try to climb up some other way and take those sheep out, whether it be by baptism or morality or decisionism or church tradition or church membership or law or whatever, they're thieves and robbers. And the porter won't open to them and the sheep won't follow them. But one day our Lord came to this earth. The perfect shepherd, the eternal shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd the sheep belong to, whom the sheep belong to. He came, and he met the porter and fulfilled every requirement. This is the shepherd. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of peace. He's the advocate. He's the sacrifice. He's the great high priest. He's the Son of God. Open the door. And he goes in and calls his sheep. And they hear him. He doesn't just invite anybody who wants to be a sheep. He calls his sheep. He knows them. He calls them by name. He said, my Father gave them me. My Father, who's greater than all, gave them to me. And he calls them by name. And he leads them out, goes before them. He doesn't drive them out with a stick. He doesn't come in and say, now you're mine, and you get out of here. No. He calls them by name, and he walks in front of them, and they follow him. Willingly. Lovingly. Doesn't have to whip one of them. And not another sheep in there follows him. Only his sheep. Only his sheep. And he leads them out. Now let's comment on verse 3 through 5 and refer it to Christ our Lord, who's come for his sheep. Come to the door of righteousness, and it opened. Come to the door of holiness, and it opened. God opened it, the porter did. Who came to the door of a sacrifice, and he provided it. Verse 3, to him the porter opens, and only to him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory is coming in. Let him come. Let him come. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. So to him the porter opened. And secondly, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls them by name. He will, in his own time. He'll call you. Call you by his word. Call you by the gospel. You know something? By name. You say, my name's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is. Sinner. You take that name to yourself. Say, hey, he's talking to me. If I say something to Dan, Dan knows I'm talking to him. If I say sinner, he knows I'm talking to him. That's another name. That's an alias. Ungodly. Enemy. Son of Adam. Just keep, you know your name. And you know your name. He'll call you by your name. And he leads them out. And he puts forth his own sheep and goes before him. And the sheep follow him. And they know his voice. And a stranger they'll not follow. Now verse 6, when he preached that, they didn't understand what he's saying. These Pharisees didn't understand. I really do understand what this sheepfold is. And I understand this door here. And how Christ came to the door. Met every requirement. God opened. He brought us out of the world, out of sin, out of the kingdom of darkness, into his own kingdom. Now then, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now listen, our Lord not only came the right way, the way of holiness and truth. Our Lord not only fulfilled all that the way of God required, but our Lord is saying here, he didn't just make a way or meet the way or provide the way. He is the way. Now that's what I can't and no human can do. I can show you the way. But I'm not the way. I can't take you. He can. He's the way. He's the way itself, you see. He didn't, listen to me. He didn't come to change the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. He is the Sabbath. He is our rest. You see, we don't meet on Saturday. That's the law. That's the law of the sacrifices and the priesthood and the tabernacle and the sprinkling of the blood and the tithe and all this under which the Jews were till Christ came. And these things all pointed to Christ. But when he came, we now worship on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. That's the day he arose from the grave. That's the day of victory over death, sin, and hell, and everything. Christ arose. But we don't keep this day like they kept that day. He's our rest. It's not a physical rest. It's not just a human emotional rest. It's spiritual rest. See that? We've entered into Christ. He is there. And then he didn't come to destroy God's commandments. He didn't come to make them of no effect. He didn't come to trim them down. He came to fulfill them. And to write them on our hearts and our minds. And he is our law. He's not only the giver of the law, he is our law. It's the law of Christ. It's the law of a person. It's his word, his command. He said, my command. He didn't come just to provide an atonement. He is the atonement. He is our tabernacle, our priest, our mercy seat. Now, we have an altar. Somebody says, y'all don't have an altar down here. Don't have one down here, but we have one in here. Christ is our altar. We don't bow on a wooden altar. We bow to a Redeemer, a living altar. You see what I'm saying? He is our Sabbath. He is our altar. He is the way. He said, I am the door. I just don't come to the door and lead them through a door. I am the door. I'm the way, the truth, the life. He said to Martha, you remember when Martha, Lazarus had died. She said, Lord, if you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. Our Lord said, he'll live. He'll live, Martha. I know, I believe he'll live in the resurrection. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. The resurrection's not a thing. Resurrection's not just a distant promise. It's now. I am the resurrection. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, he's alive. The resurrection is not going to be, it is. It's me. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? He provides the door, yes. He comes to the door, yes. He is the door. That's, yeah, but God reveals it. He is the door. And then in closing, he said in verse 9, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door. I've tried so often here through these years, poorly, I'm sure, but to show you, it's not just the knowledge of a door, it's the entering in that's important to you and me. He says, I am the door. That's fine. Exclamation point. And I've tried to show you that all the way through this message. But it, by me, if any man enter in. Enter in. Thank God there's a door. And there's only one. The ark had one door. God provided the door. Why seek another? There is a door. Christ himself is the door. By me, he said, by me, by my power, by my blood, by my righteousness, by my will, by me. We all know that. Everybody in here knows there's a door. And Christ is the door. Now watch what he said. By me, if any man enter in. Any man, Jew or Gentile, male or female, white or black, old or young, rich or poor. If any man enter in.
I tried to show this last Wednesday night. Sure, there's a lamb put up and a lamb slain and a lamb roasted, but there's some blood to be put on the door. And by me, if any man enter in, what is this entering in? It's to receive Christ. It's to believe Him. It's to rest in Him. To trust Him. He shall be saved. To believe Him in the heart. Believe Christ. Believe this gospel. Lord, I believe. When our Lord preached this message again and again and again to different groups, to one group He preached, and it said they all left. They said, this is a hard saying. This is difficult. Who can hear it? And they left. And He turned to the 12 and He said, would you also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now listen, and we believe and assure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They entered in. And then He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, willingly, lovingly, just like those sheep followed Him, he'll be saved. And he'll go in and out and find pasture. He'll be saved. He'll go in and out. What's this going in and out? He'll go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, into the throne of grace. This is the freedom in Christ. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. He'll go out into the world to make His living, out into the world to provide for His household, out among men and women, young people. He's not going to keep them locked up somewhere. They'll go in and out into His presence, out there into the world, and they'll find pasture wherever they are. They'll feed on Him. They'll feed on His Word. Whether they're in church, like this morning, sitting here feeding on the Word, or out there hitting it 8 hours hard, laboring. That Word have I hid in my heart. Laid up these treasures in the heart. They feed on the Word all the time. They find pasture. They find it. Because they're walking with the King. We don't leave our religion here at the church when we leave here at 11:30. We go in, we go out. We go in, we go out. And wherever we go, we find pasture. Because He's always, I'm with you. Never leave you, never forsake you. Always with you.